Make sure this season to check out Walter's self-poured beer wall, which includes 24 different items, including Fireside Chat, Vienna Lager, and Green City IPA. Visit waltersdc.com for more information.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blasted at deep right field. Rosario back, looking up. Forget about it. Home run for Josh Smith, his second of the year. And it's 3-1 Texas.
He kicks and he delivers. And a swing and a drive in the air to deep right center field. Young going back, way back. Warning track. He's at the wall. He leaps. And he can't get it. It is gone. Goodbye. A home run for Leody Taveras. It's his first home run of the year. It's a two-run homer and a three-run inning for the Rangers, who broke it this one wide open. It's now Texas 7 and Washington 1.
And welcome to Nats Chat for Wednesday, May 1st, 2024, along with MassinSports.com Nationals insider Mark Zuckerman, who is at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. I'm Al Galdi, host of the Al Galdi podcast. Well, the Nats will have to wait a little while longer to have a winning record. They, for this regular season, fell to 14-15 with a 7-1 loss at the Texas Rangers on Tuesday night in Game 1 of a three-game series. This episode of the Nats Chat podcast is brought to us by Table 2 Mat, which you can count on for all of your nutrition and personal training needs. Table 2 Mat offers virtual and in-person nutrition services and personal training to the DMV area. You can email Table 2 Mat directly via table2mat.com, or you can call 240-388-2206. And that website, table2mat.com, the word table, the number 2, and mat.com, table2mat.com. Well, the good news is that Mackenzie Gore was good on Tuesday night. The bad news is that the Nats bullpen was quite bad on Tuesday night. And the Nats offense may have been worse. The Nats, over the final three games of the four-game sweep at the Miami Marlins, scored 30 runs. But Mark, the Nats on Tuesday night, just one run, just three hits. All three of the hits were singles. Two of the hits, infield singles. That was a rather feeble offensive performance.
There was nothing going on offensively in this game, Al. I mean, nothing. And the funny thing is, you know, a few batters into the game, you think, oh, this could be a good night. C.J. Abrams getting on base, advancing himself, putting himself in scoring position. Luis Garcia with a really good at-bat to drive him in. You're like, okay, here we go. Let's see what they've got. And then the rest of the night was one hit, and that was an infield little dribbler to the mound. I mean, and it's not like the Rangers making spectacular plays behind John Gray. There just was very little, a lot of quick at-bats, no walks, as you said. You know, you give John Gray some credit. He pitched well. Maybe there's a little bit of, you know, the Nats, after that night game in Miami, I heard they got in at 3 a.m. to Texas. Maybe they were sleepwalking a little bit through this one. But, I mean, man, there was just not much going on offensively. And I don't even know there's a whole lot to break down from them offensively from this game, because there isn't much to discuss, I don't think.
No, not really. Your three Nationals hits, if you are keeping score, C.J. Abrams, he is the Nats starting shortstop, number one batter, had an infield single in that Nats one run first, a leadoff infield single on a tapper toward first base on a 1-2 pitch. He, on the very next pitch, stole second base, and then it was driven in by Luis Garcia Jr. He in that one run first, a two-out opposite field RBI single to left field on a 1-2 pitch. for a 1-0 Nats lead. And then the only other Nationals hit the rest of the game, Trey Lipscomb, top of the fifth, a 2-out opposite field infield single on a swinging bunt toward first base on an 0-2 pitch. And thus concludes the reading of your 3 Nationals hits on Tuesday night. So the Nats did have a good offensive series at the Marlins. This was one game. Like you said, you know, they came in very late. And it's ridiculous that on a getaway day, the Marlins had a 6:40 start time on Monday, but that's another conversation. But in terms of the Nats and a guy who continues to struggle, Eddie Rosario, and I know that Davey Martinez during his postgame session with you guys addressed the Eddie Rosario situation.
And if you look at his numbers in April, they're not very good. Tomorrow we start May. So hopefully, you know, tomorrow he breaks out of it.
You know, he's not playing every game, but he is playing at least a decent amount. Rosario on Tuesday night as the Nats starting right fielder, number 7 batter, 0-3. His OPS for the regular season now is at .299. He is really struggling something fierce. What do you make of where we're at with Eddie Rosario?
Well, it's not pretty. You know, we talked to him afterwards as well, and he made no excuses for it. He said this is the worst month he's ever had in the big leagues. So he feels it. He knows it. Now, the silver lining, if you want to call it that, is that historically, April has always been not just his worst month, but by far his worst month. He's a career 206 hitter in April, 620 OPS in April. And every other month of the baseball season over his career, he doesn't have an OPS below 735. So that's 100 points worse, more than 100 points worse than any other month. So if history holds true, he's going to snap out of this and he's going to be more productive once he kind of gets through this first month. Now, the problem is that first month was so bad that even if he gets better, it could still be pretty bad and not be all that productive to begin with. So I think there's some real concern there. Davey Martinez was adamant about knowing the track record there and about saying, like, look, it's too early to just give up on a guy. I know what he's done in the past. I'm not doing that yet. And I get it. I get why he would say that. Here's the difference. We know there is help coming in the outfield. And we're not even have to talk about, you know, James Wood, Dylan Cruz. I mean, Lane Thomas eventually will be back. Victor Robles could be back fairly soon. There are going to be some outfield decisions that have to be made relatively soon. And it would be hard to say that Eddie Rosario deserves to stay above someone else who might be in danger of losing a job, like Jacob Young, for example. So I think that's where it gets tricky. They don't have to make that decision yet, but I don't know that the rope can be so long that you say, okay, Eddie, you get another month, 2 months to snap out of this. At some point here, they're going to have to make a call on their outfield. And if you decide to keep Eddie Rosario, you may be dropping somebody else who has been far more productive.
He's a guy who was signed to a minor league contract with a non-roster invitation to major league spring training. So I think we have to keep that in mind. Like, there's a reason that he was signed to a minor league contract. Now, in Rosario's defense and to Davey's point, I mean, this is a guy who has been productive. I mean, just last regular season, 516 plate appearances. So a pretty good sample size, 21 home runs, OPS plus of exactly 100. He was the 2021 National League Championship Series MVP. So, you know, there is something there. But like you were just saying, I mean, the leash should only be so long. I do always come back now to the Josh Bell lesson of 2021, of a newcomer gets off to a really bad start. And you say to yourself, what are we doing here? And then, of course, things change and they change big time with Josh Bell. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Rosario, but I think it is fair to say, hey, we're only through April, you know, give the guy a little bit more time. But this has been tough. I mean, you mentioned the career OPS in April. His OPS is at .299. It's like half of that career April OPS, which isn't good to begin with. So that really tells you how bad things have been.
Yeah, it's 0 for his last 25. How many guys do you see do that? And yeah, he's been hitting the ball a little bit harder, but let's not make it out like he's just getting robbed on a nightly basis. There has not been a whole lot there. And then on top of all that, you got defense in right field, and there was a play in this game that, not an easy play by any stretch, but a play that when he didn't make it, it turned into a triple, which at the time looked like it might be really costly to them when it was still a low-scoring game. So if he's contributing in other ways, you kind of brush aside the offense a little bit. But when he's not contributing in other ways, that compounds it. So they're not giving up on him yet. Like we said, you have to give him at least a little bit of a chance to show that he can do what he's done his whole career. But I don't think it's an endless rope there. And I think part of that is because of where the franchise is today versus where it was a year, 2 years, 3 years ago, where you know you finally have some help coming and you can't keep that help away from here forever. At some point, you do have to say, that's a better option for us than the veteran who's struggling.
Another struggling Nationals hitter is Kaibert Ruiz. He on Tuesday night as the Nats starting catcher, number five batter, went 0-for-3. Ruiz now for this regular season, OPS of 487, batting average 143, on base percentage 222, slugging percentage 265. Now he's coming off the illness, which caused him to lose a lot of weight. So I don't think we should necessarily be hammering Kaibert too hard, but it has been a rough go for him so far this season.
Yeah, you'd love to know what it would have been if he didn't get sick and he just played straight through. Obviously, there's an adjustment period there. I'm a little surprised at how much he's played since coming back from this. I know Davey loves to play Kaibert Ruiz 5-6 times a week, but you're doing that after he missed 2 weeks with a pretty serious illness and, like you said, lost the weight. I'll be interested, does that change here at all? Now, Riley Adams, as good as he was, he's kind of cooled off as well and hasn't been as productive when he has gotten in there. But I do think, like, just for Kaibert's like long-term benefit here, you got to be careful. You can't run him into the ground right now when he's coming off of a serious illness like that. I think we've seen enough from him to kind of know what he is as a hitter and to think it's not going to last. You just hope physically he's up to it and that he isn't worn down already from coming back from that and playing as much as he has.
Swing for the fences this summer and hire Table to Mat for all your nutrition and personal training needs. Being healthy and having fun do not have to be mutually exclusive. Table to Mat specializes in making healthy lifestyles enjoyable and sustainable. Are you experiencing headaches, stomach discomfort, or want to lose weight? Find out how your food choices and exercise impact how you feel physically and mentally. We offer virtual and in-person nutrition services and personal training to the DMV area. With over a decade working in our fields, we bring experience and passion to help you be the best version of yourself. You can email us directly through our website at tabletomat.com or call us at 240-388-2206. That's the word table, the number 2MAT.com.
Hey guys, it's Al Galdi for Window Nation, which has another great deal for listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. 50% off all window styles plus 0% interest for 5 years and an additional bonus if you schedule an appointment this week. This offer is good throughout this month of May. Window Nation windows are the best. Increase the value, look, and feel of your home. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast. Window Nation can install your new windows in a day or less. Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime warranty. Get a free, no obligation quote now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And tell Window Nation that Al Galdi sent you.
Tim Shover's here to tell you about Game Time. This Saturday night, Marc Maron is performing at the Warner Theater. There are tickets on Game Time as low as $21. I've seen Maron before. He's well worth $21. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you the complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in seconds with two taps. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code NATSCHAT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code NATSCHAT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Gore to the belt, checks the runner at second. He throws. Swinging a ground ball, base hit into left field. Rounding third, coming home is low. Winker will not throw home. He throws to second. Garcia rounds far, but gets back. And this game is tied. RBI single to left for Jonah Heim. Nationals 1, Rangers 1. Garcia at second, and Heim aboard at first.
Well, the biggest bright spot for the Nats in this 7-1 loss at the Rangers on Tuesday night was the Nats starting pitcher, Mackenzie Gore. He allowed 2 runs in 5 innings with 7 strikeouts versus 1 walk. He gave up 5 hits, which were a triple and 4 singles. He issued a hit by pitch. He, over his 5 innings, threw a good number of pitches, but also a good number of strikes. 91 pitches, 59 strikes, 32 balls. Gore, in the bottom of the fourth, allowed a run on 3 consecutive singles to begin the inning, including an RBI single by Jonah Heim through the left side of the infield to tie the game at 1. And Gore, in the bottom of the fifth, allowed a run. He gave up that aforementioned triple, a 1-out opposite field triple by Marcus Semien to deep right center field, where the ball was misplayed by right fielder Eddie Rosario. Although that's a tricky spot. Rosario was approaching this diagonal portion of the outfield wall at Globe Life Field. Could have made the catch, didn't make the catch. Semien ended up scoring on a 1-out RBI groundout by Corey Seager. Now, Gore then issued a 2-out walk, followed by issuing a 2-out hit by pitch, but Gore got out of the inning by only allowing the 1 run. So ultimately, 2 runs in 5 innings. Mackenzie Gore now in this regular season, 6 starts, ERA of 3.19, a whip of 1.35, strikeouts per 9 innings of 11.03. And he's doing this with a high BABIP allowed. I brought this up recently. The batting average on balls in play allowed for Mackenzie Gore is at 392, significantly higher than that, widely subscribed to league average of around 300. So there's an implication there of some bad luck. So Gore could be doing even better than what he has been doing. Ideally, he lasts for longer than 5 innings. But, you know, as we've discussed previously, when you strike a lot of guys out, the pitch count does tend to go up. So if you're going to praise him for the strikeouts, I think you have to understand that sometimes that pitch count is going to get away from you a bit. But a lot to like with the season that Mackenzie Gore is having.
Big picture, I mean, if you said at the end of April he's going to have an ERA in the low threes and way more strikeouts than innings pitched, you, of course, are thrilled with that. So that's been good. And he's doing against some good lineups, which is another thing to be excited about as well. The one little nitpick here, as we've noted, is that the pitch counts do tend to get high and he's not going deeper in games. And what's interesting here, you mentioned the strikeouts, and yeah, that oftentimes is the issue. But you know what? He struck out 5 batters in the first 3 innings and the pitch count was only 43. So it was the long innings weren't because of strikeouts. The fourth inning, there were some long at bats that guys were fouling off pitches and just battling and extending at bats. And then in the fifth, that you said, the walk, the hit by pitch, by the time he got through that, he's at 91 pitches and you kind of feel like he's starting to look a little bit gassed. So I don't think it's going to take that much for him, hopefully, to take that next little step and now turn these 5-inning starts into 6-inning starts and ultimately the 6-inning starts into 7-inning starts. But take a step back and consider what we're looking at here. This is an emerging ace on this team who has done a really good job at minimizing damage this year. These couple of games we would have seen in the past that turn into, you know, 4 runs in 5 innings or 6 runs in 4 innings, that kind of thing. And he has been able to avoid those kind of starts. Even when it hasn't been great, he hasn't been totally locked in, he's able to keep the damage to 1 or 2 runs and get himself out of some jams. That's a huge development, I think, for him. So it's been fun to see the progression there. And it also makes you realize there's probably more to come. And maybe we are ultimately talking about a guy who is able to go a little deeper in games and continue to only give up 1 or 2 runs, which would be outstanding.
And to the point about him doing well against good lineups, Texas has a pretty good lineup. Gore did well in this game on Tuesday night. You go back to his previous outing last Thursday, April 25th, 2-1 loss to the Los Angeles Dodgers at Nationals Park. Gore in that game, 1 run in 6 innings. You go back prior to that, 3-2 win over the Philadelphia Phillies at Nationals Park, April 7th. Gore in that game, 2 runs, 5 2/3 innings, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks. So, you know, yes, he has faced Pittsburgh, he has faced Oakland, but it's not always against, you know, the patsies or the presumed patsies. I mean, it's still early, so it's hard to necessarily know who's good and who's bad. But Gore's getting the job done against some very respectable lineups. So very encouraging to see that. Now, the Nationals bullpen in this game was not good. The bullpen, by and large, lately has been doing a pretty good job. Tuesday night, though, not a good night for the Nats pen. 3 Nats relievers combined to allow 5 runs in 3 innings. Each reliever used in this game gave up at least a run. Jordan Weems, bottom of the sixth, he allowed a run on a 1-out solo homer by Josh Smith to right field on an 0-2 pitch for a 3-1 Rangers lead. Now, in fairness to Weems, the homer went just 364 feet per the StatCast projection. So, you know, that's not a home run in a good number of ballparks, but it was a home run in this ballpark. Jacob Barnes in the bottom of the seventh allowed a run And then came Tanner Rainey in the bottom of the eighth. He allowed 3 runs. As his struggles continue, Rainey issued a one-out walk, issued a one-out wild pitch, gave up a one-out RBI single, gave up a one-out two-run homer, and gave up a two-out single. The homer. It was a one-out full-count two-run homer by the Rangers' number 9 batter, Leody Taveras, for a 7-1 Rangers lead. The homer went a projected 415 feet. Per StatCast, Rainey in the inning threw 35 pitches, 18 strikes, 17 balls. Your updated Tanner Rainey stats for this regular season, 11 innings pitched, 12 earned runs, 21 hits allowed, 10 walks allowed, ERA a 9.82, WHIP of 2.82. We have been wondering if a roster move with Tanner Rainey might be coming. At this point, how is a roster move not coming?
I think we're close to a point when they do have a move coming. That's Robert Garcia, who's been on the IL with the influenza. He is throwing. He's going to be facing live hitters here soon within the next few days, and they're probably a week away from him being ready to return. And when that happens, are you going to send down Jacob Barnes, who I think has been pretty good? I know he gave up a run in this one, but overall, I think he's done a nice job for you. Are you going to send him down and keep Tanner Rainey, or are you going to finally make a call on this? And look, you keep wanting to look for something, some glimmer from Tanner Rainey that makes you say, okay, he's showing signs that he can be the guy he was pre-Tommy John. It's just not there. The velocity is down. The command is off. He's both getting hit hard, as you've mentioned, and also walking guys and throwing pitches to the backstop for wild pitches. So if it was just a command issue, you'd say, okay, but we're talking about poor velocity, poor command, and giving up hits, like hard hits, on top of all that. And there's just not a whole lot to cling to right now. Now, the issue is he's out of options. So you can't just send him down to the minors without exposing him to waivers. Is anybody else going to claim him at this point? Maybe not, given what he's going through. And so maybe you just take that chance and say, anyone else, go ahead if you want to claim him. If not, we can outright him, take him off the 40-man roster, and send him to AAA to try to get him right. Maybe there is a physical ailment they can come up with or that he is dealing with to give him some more time. But it is clear a month into this that he is just not the pitcher that he used to be. It's sad. It's unfortunate. But we always have to remind ourselves, not everybody comes back from Tommy John 100%. They don't always throw as hard or harder. In this case, he's throwing significantly less and really not having results at all. And it's a problem. And I don't know that you can continue with this a whole lot longer.
You mentioned, though, it may be being a week until Garcia is ready to come back. I don't know that you can wait a week with this Rainey situation. I don't know how you can feel comfortable putting him back out there in a game, in any kind of game, for another week here. And look, it's not fair to him. Like, he's struggling. He's ailing right now. I don't think it's doing him any good to keep putting him out there and to see him keep struggling like this. To your point about the injured list, I would think, especially with him coming off Tommy John surgery, albeit a few years ago now, you could say, you know, elbow soreness or something. That doesn't seem that far-fetched. But I don't know how you go another week with him on the Major League active roster.
Yeah, I get it. And maybe Garcia might be ready a little sooner than that. Maybe they do feel the need to do something here prior to that. They have an off day next on Monday. So you've still got 2 games here and then 3 with the Blue Jays over the weekend. Maybe they can get by just stashing him away and not using him unless it's a blowout, but maybe it may depend more on what else happens. If you have a short start by somebody, if you have an extra inning game, if you have, you know, games where you're burning up your bullpen and you get to the next day and say, man, we need a fresh arm, then maybe you are forced to do that move. My guess is they would ideally like to wait until Garcia is ready, but if they can't, they may have to make that move.
And as we have seen many times in recent years, when the Nats DFA someone, more often than not, he does clear waivers. We just went through this with Jake Alou. He cleared waivers. He's still with the organization. So the idea that if you DFA Rainey, he's gone, probably not, hopefully not. I mean, the guy has talent. It's tough to watch, but it ain't happening right now.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you could still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Here's a special deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription. but only for our listeners for a limited time at babbel.com/natschat. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/natschat. That's spelled BABBEL.com/natschat. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The kick and the pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out with the slider, running off the plate. And a curly W's in the books. So is a series win in Los Angeles and a winning three-city road trip going home at 5-4.
Davey, in his post-game session with you guys, did get asked for an assessment of the Nats now that we are through April. So the record is at 14-15. How would you sort of summarize where the Nats are a full month and change, anyway, into this regular season?
So I know it's disappointing they didn't just get one more win and be 15-14. We talked about what that would have meant. First winning April under Davey, first time with a winning record at all since July of 2021. But I don't think 14-15, 15-14, it makes that much difference. I think there's still a lot to like about what they've done. If you said going into the season, hey, they're going to play one game under 500 in their first month of the year, you're going to see Mackenzie Gore pitch like an ace, you're going to see CJ Abrams play like a superstar. And by the way, you're also going to hover right around 500 in spite of injuries to Lane Thomas, Josiah Gray, Victor Robles, and others. I mean, I think you'd have to be pretty satisfied with that as well. So I think bigger picture, it's okay to be encouraged by this. I also think it's okay to say they should have a few more wins. The bullpen blew a couple of games. You have a couple of games here where the lineup did nothing and just a one hit here or there could have flipped a game in their favor. So I think that's okay to feel a little disappointed by that as well. And so if you say 14-15, like I think they played a legitimate 14-15. I don't think they were lucky to get to that record, but I also think they could be better if they clean up a few things here and there. And so if the whole idea of this season is that they should progressively get better, both with development of who they have here and the additions that we hope are coming along the way, if 14-15 represents one of their worst months this year, boy, it's going to be a great season for them. So I think there's a whole lot to be encouraged by the way this went.
Yeah, I mean, 14-15 matches up more or less with the run differential of minus 11. They're doing what they're doing, like you said, with Josiah Gray having been out for a while. And you've had these encouraging developments, this blossoming of CJ Abrams, this unexpected rise of Mitchell Parker, this continued ascension, it seems, of Jake Irvin, Mackenzie Gore still pitching well. So there are a lot of like granular things that you can attach yourself to. Like, you know, when it comes to somebody like Eddie Rosario struggling or Joey Gallo struggling, yeah, but in the big picture, does that really matter? Not all that much. These other things are what matter, and these other things are good. Like, these other things are like big picture good. You know, Jacob Young, a guy, a seventh round pick who maybe is proving to be a real find for this team. So I think it's not just the record. It's not even just what's happening in the games, but some of these individual developments, I think, really speak well to the rebuild. And if this is the way this season is going to go, this is a really good season.
They're not 14-15 because of the performance of the veteran stopgaps. Aside from Trevor Williams, who else among those guys that you're saying, boy, they're really playing out of their mind or doing really well? No, they've gotten to this point because mostly of the job that their young building blocks have done. So I think that is the really encouraging part of it. We've been talking for several years now about it's not so much the what, it's the who, and who is doing it. Well, right now, most of these young guys are contributing to it. and making you think they can continue this. And so if you're going to get to about a 500 record, you'd much rather have young guys getting you there than the old guys. And so I think that, on top of everything else, continues to make this an encouraging start this season.
Victor Robles has started his minor league rehab assignment. How soon do you think he'll be back with the major league team?
Well, he tripled, so that's a good sign for a guy with a hamstring injury. I don't know. I think that's another interesting one. We're talking about outfield moves here. It would be easy to say you call him up and send Alex Call down. You know, you can do that. I think there's a question of playing time with Jacob Young. Maybe Young ends up in right field some of the time with Victor in center field. I don't think they have to rush this. You give him at least a few days, make sure that he's comfortable and hitting well and playing well the way that he was before he got hurt. But yeah, you don't want to wait too long. I know he may not fall into that same category, but we've talked about it. When he's been healthy the last two seasons, he's actually been very good. We just haven't been able to see him for any length of time because of injury. So I think once it's clear that he's back in form, you do bring him back up. Then maybe you hold off on that Eddie Rosario decision until you know what's going on with Lane Thomas or with Joey Gallo. There are some fascinating roster moves that are coming up at some point. I don't think they're quite there yet. I think they can still make the more obvious moves at the moment, but there's going to come a point here when ideally they're healthy and you have some tough decisions to make.
This installment of the Nats Chat podcast brought to us by Table to Mat, which you can count on for all of your nutrition and personal training needs. Table to Mat offers virtual and in-person nutrition services and personal training to the DMV area. You can email Table to Mat directly via table2mat.com, or you can call 240-388-2206. That's the word table, the number 2, MAT.com. Next up for the Nats is Game 2 at the Rangers, Wednesday night at 8:05. And the man who has been the Nats' best starting pitcher so far this season, Trevor Williams, will be the Nats' starting pitcher. Hit us up on X at Nats_chat. You can email the show, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube. Just search Nats Chat. Our YouTube handle is at Nats Chat Podcast. We have a website that we invite you to check out as well, natschatpodcast.com. All Nationals radio highlights on Nats Chat are courtesy of 106.7 The Fan. So for Mark Zuckerman, I'm Al Galdi. We'll talk to you next time on the Nats Chat Podcast. And we're going to leave you with a special treat. A loyal Nats Chat listener, Owen Ranger, appropriate as an answer at the Rangers right now. Owen covers the AA Harrisburg Senators for the Nats Report, and he is here to give us an update on what's going on with the Nats' top prospects at AA.
One ball and one strike. Winning run at third. And the pitch. Lined into shallow center field. This one is falling. It is a base hit. Robert Hassel, the third, scores. And Dylan Cruz with the game winner.
Hey, Nats Chat listeners. I'm Owen Ranger, a staff writer for the Nats Report, an independent outlet that covers all things Nationals. And one of the things I do is watch and write about the AA Harrisburg Senators, including a weekly roundup that I call the Monday Morning Filibuster. The Senators opened this season as perhaps the most exciting minor league affiliate in the system, with three of the team's top four prospects, four of the top eight, and eight total in the top 30 per MLB pipeline, plus a couple other possibly intriguing names that we will get to here. The Senators entered today's game 9-10 with a run differential of 0, fifth in the Eastern League's Southwest Division, but minor league records are less important than player development. The biggest name, of course, is outfielder Dylan Cruz, the team's top overall prospect, who, despite getting off to a rough start with a lot of strikeouts and dealing with a hamstring issue that kept him out of the lineup for a week, has still been an above-average offensive player in a league where he is 2 years younger than the average player. Third baseman and number three prospect Brady House has been league average overall at the plate, but that is still impressive as he is almost 3 years younger than the average Eastern League player. And the two most important developments with House so far are these. He has more than doubled his walk rate in the early going, which was a concern last year, and he has yet to miss a game after the Nats slow-played him some last year following his 2022 back injury. First baseman and number four prospect Yohandy Morales has struggled a lot in his first extended look at this level, striking out a third of the time and not hitting with much power, but hopefully will turn it around soon as he gets more comfortable with his move across the diamond from third base. Outfielder and number eight prospect Robert Hassel III is repeating the level after struggling last year in his return from Hammett surgery, and the early returns are good. His walks are up, his strikeouts are down, and while he is hitting a lot of singles, he is a good bet to move up to AAA Rochester whenever the Nats promote James Wood to the big leagues. Lest we forget, Hassel is still young. He doesn't turn 23 until August. The other interesting position player is outfielder and number 17 overall prospect Andrew Pinckney, a fourth-round draft pick last year who has hit for little power so far but has done enough to be a regular leadoff option for the Senators. The most recognizable name on the pitching staff is number 24 prospect Cole Henry, who has already had thoracic outlet syndrome surgery back in 2022. Henry has a strong 2.58 ERA, although he has walked 7 batters in 10 and 2-thirds innings. He is starting games for Harrisburg, but has yet to go longer than 3 innings in a start, and it looks likely that a bullpen role is in his future. Lefty Andrew Alvarez won the organization's Pitcher of the Year award in 2023, but doesn't show up on most prospect lists. He threw 5 no-hit innings on opening day for Harrisburg and 5 more shutout innings against Erie last week. Kyle Luckham is a depth prospect who has only allowed 24 base runners in 21 innings, despite not having strikeout stuff. And Brad Lord was promoted earlier in April from Wilmington and just had a very strong start against Erie with 5 scoreless frames, featuring a swing-back fastball that looked like prime Tanner Roark. Orlando Ribalta, Tyler Schauff, Jack Sinclair, and Lucas Knowles have been the most impressive relievers thus far coming out of the Senators' bullpen. Once promotions within the system start to happen, keep an eye out for pitchers Andre Lara, Luke Young, Marquise Grissom Jr., yes, the son of the former Major League outfielder, and Rodney Theophile. Number 7 prospect outfielder Daylen Lyle, number 22 prospect shortstop Kevin Mate, and outfielder Jared McKenzie as guys who are all currently trending towards a possible move from Wilmington to Harrisburg. Thanks for listening. Keep listening to Nats Chat after every game. And if you want even more coverage of the Nats and their minor league affiliates, subscribe to the Nats Report at thenatsreport.com.
The 1-1. He drives one towards left center field with Carey. Brady Allen, a long run back, still going back. It is gone. A 3-run home run off the bat of Brady House as he leaves the house.